from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Here it is, Election Day, an important day to get out and vote. For some Democrats, it's the presidential primary and caucus voting of 2016 that's still raising hackles. Former Democratic National Committee Chair Donna Brazile has written an explosive tell-all saying the Clinton campaign basically took over the DNC as Hillary battled Bernie. Rigged is the word getting all the attention. The book is out today. This hour on Point, Democrats weighing in on Donna Brazile's story and the party's way ahead. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Was someone robbed here or not? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Washington is Philip Rucker, White House Bureau Chief for The Washington Post. Covered the 2016 presidential campaign. He was the only reporter, as far as we know, to read Donna Brazile's book, Hacks, the inside story of the break-ins and breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House, before it was published today. His story on Sunday was headlined, Brazile says she found no evidence that Democratic parties primaries were rigged for Clinton. You can link to all this at our website, onpointradio.org. Philip Rucker, welcome to On Point.
Hi, glad to be here, Tom.
If Donna Brazile's saying she found no evidence of rigging, what's all the hoopla about?
Well, listen, what she did find is a joint fundraising agreement that was signed between the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee back in, I believe, August of 2015. And the agreement meant that in exchange for the Clinton campaign helping raise money for the DNC, which, remember, was in pretty dire straits financially at the time, that they would be able to exert some measure of control over some functions of the DNC, strategy, staffing, budget, things like that. That is not the same, however, as rigging the actual primaries. Those are elections that were controlled by the various states. There were also some caucuses that were run by the Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders actually prevailed in most of those caucuses, whereas Hillary Clinton did perform better in those primary elections. So when Donna Brazile says in her Sunday interview on ABC that she had no evidence the primary was rigged, she means there's no evidence that the elections themselves were rigged.
So what was the heart of her complaint?
Her complaint is that the DNC showed favoritism and, in her view, unethical and unfair favoritism for Clinton well at the beginning of the primary process, before the primaries took off, before Bernie Sanders really took off as a grassroots phenomenon. And she, you know, posits that the structures of the party here in Washington were tilted in Clinton's favor, that the Clinton campaign was able to exercise some control over strategic direction of the party, but she's not claiming that any votes were rigged, that any particular primary election was stolen.
Philip, take us back to who Donna Brazile was and why and how she became the DNC chair at a critical moment in time.
Yeah, so she's someone where a lot of us are familiar with from television. She's a very prominent African American strategist in the Democratic Party. She was campaign manager for Al Gore in 2000, but has been around Democratic politics for decades, and most recently as an on-air television cable news commentator. But she was also the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, and in the summer of 2016, just on the eve of the convention in Philadelphia, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who had been the chair of the DNC, was forced to abruptly quit given sort of the WikiLeaks scandal that was ongoing. And so Donna Brazile, as the vice chair, was elevated kind of overnight to become interim chair. She took over the party at that critical time and then led the party through the general election.
And how – I mean, you got this book. I don't know how you got it before it came out, but then she's also written about it in advance of it coming out, saying that she had promised – Bernie Sanders that this is for Politico, I would get to the bottom of whether Hillary Clinton's team had rigged the nomination process, as a cache of emails stolen by Russian hackers and posted online had suggested. Remind us of the timing of the emails and how Donna Brazile says she waded in to try and figure out what was going on.
Yeah. So, Tom, that article you're mentioning in Politico is actually an excerpt from a chapter of her book that's called Bernie, I Found the Cancer. And in it, Donna Brazile describes this phone call to Bernie Sanders and what she uncovered when she took over the DNC. And the emails that she's referring to, I believe, are the emails that were hacked by the Russians in that illegal hack. This was an ongoing problem at the DNC for more than a year, really. And a trove of emails came out on the eve of the convention that frankly showed favoritism, not only from Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, but a number of the senior staffers on the campaign or on the DNC, rather, were playing favorites with Hillary Clinton during the primaries.
And can you detail that favoritism so people can understand exactly what she's suggesting, as Donna Brazile interpreted all that?
Well, it's little things. You know, it can be as minor as figuring out what the debate schedule is going to look like. But there are other elements of favoritism as well. And over the course of the campaign, an email actually came out showing that Donna Brazile, who had been working at CNN as a contributor, shared, you know, one of the upcoming questions that was going to be asked at a CNN town hall debate with the Clinton campaign. And that was seen and interpreted as a sign of outright favoritism. Even by Donna Brazile. So there were just a number of instances where, you know, emails that Debbie Wasserman Schultz sent and emails that her advisors and top staff sent that were really infuriating to Bernie Sanders supporters and created a pretty toxic environment at the beginning of the convention in Philadelphia.
So be more explicit about if she's saying, well, no, the primaries weren't rigged, but there was a cancer here. Describe exactly what she's calling the cancer.
The cancer is the joint fundraising agreement, and this is an agreement that, you know, every campaign is entitled to form one. The Clinton campaign went ahead and did form one, and it was an agreement with the DNC where the Clinton campaign would help raise money for the National Party and in exchange would have oversight and some element of control over a lot of party functions, from the strategy decisions to budget decisions to staffing decisions. At one point, the Clinton campaign recommended a slate of candidates to become the communications director for the DNC. It turns out, I believe, that the ultimate person who got that job was not from that slate of candidates. But this was an unusual amount of control for a candidate, in this case Hillary Clinton, who had not yet secured the nomination. When somebody becomes the nominee of their party, they effectively inherit the National Party and can take over the DNC in this case. But Hillary Clinton was one of, you know, three candidates at the time, Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley being the other two. Mm-hmm. And she was able to exercise this control that Bernie Sanders and O'Malley did not have.
So it's funny because your story over the weekend says, you know, Donna Brazile says no rigging, and yet rigging is the word from that excerpt that got published. It got everybody's attention, and it's still rolling around.
That's right. And I just want to be clear about that story over the weekend. When she says no rigging, she means very explicitly no rigging in the electoral process, that the actual vote was not rigged, that the – you know, when you say Hillary Clinton won a primary, the South Carolina primary, that was not a rigged election. That's what she means by no rigging.
So – there was, though, an extraordinary degree of control here. As you read it, as a reporter, I mean, if you step back from saying, I mean, the same thing goes on with Mueller's investigating into the Russians. But if you step back from, okay, were the votes messed with? And you might say no, but could it still be rigged? What's the difference between an extraordinary degree of control and a rigged Democratic primary?
Well, it just looks bad, and it more than that, it shows the power of big money in this primary process. I mean, Hillary Clinton, because she had so many wealthy donors, was able to basically buy influence with the Democratic National Committee, which gave her an unfair advantage to a more grassroots candidate like Bernie Sanders, who did not have access to donors willing to write those enormous checks. And, you know, it's ironic because President Obama had such a people-powered campaign, but then You know, this is the kind of party that he's handed over to his successor, and it was so easily, you know, controlled by the Clinton campaign. I mean, she was sort of designated to be the party heir apparent to Obama, and you know, Donna Brazile's account shows just how much the party was sort of moving in lockstep to support her, even though there was this very powerful grassroots movement, you know, rising up on the left in the form of the Sanders campaign.
And here's people have really run with it. Last week it was CNN's Jake Tapper asking Senator Elizabeth Warren, prominent progressive, if she believes the Democratic primary process was rigged in favor of Hillary Clinton in the 2016 primary.
Very quickly, Senator, do you agree with the notion that it was rigged?
Yes.
Yes, straight up from Senator Warren there. Here's George Stephanopoulos. He asked Donna Brazile on Monday if she agreed with Elizabeth Warren on the rigging.
I don't think she meant the word rig, because what I said, George, as you well know, after I left this show back on July 24th, I said I will get to the bottom of everything. And that's what I did. And I called Senator Sanders to say, you know, I wanted to make sure there was no rigging in the process. I'm on the Rules and Bylaws Committee. I found no evidence, none whatsoever. The only thing I found, which I said I found the cancer, but I'm not killing the patient, was this memorandum that prevented the DNC from running its own operation.
So what do you make of this then, Philip Rucker? She's got her own credibility issues around those questions that were given to Hillary Clinton in advance of town hall debates. She's put a lot in this book. There's a big letter out from 100 or so Clinton staffers over the weekend saying we don't recognize what she's describing here. Whose version of events is carrying the day, Phil?
It's a good question. And, you know, the book goes far beyond just this issue of the joint fundraising agreement and the so-called cancer that she uncovered. She really paints a scathing portrait of the Clinton campaign itself and of Hillary Clinton's skills as a candidate, and described the lack of enthusiasm she saw all around the country.
She calls it anemic, talks about the odor of failure,
right.
As a campaign that was stiff and stupid messages.
That's right. We've not seen a tell-all this extraordinary in probably a decade or two in politics. This is unusual for the party chair to come out so harshly critical of the Clinton campaign.
We are going to be talking with the Democratic current DNC chair, Tom Perez, in this hour. We're supposed to be talking with Nina Turner here in a moment as well from the Sanders side of the woods here. Philip Rucker is with us, Washington bureau chief of the Washington Post. He read it first. Philip, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Support for this podcast comes from Embody DNA. Ghouls and goblins aren't real, but your sweet tooth might be. Find out if there's one lurking in your DNA, keeping you close to the candy bowl. With Embody DNA, you can take an at-home test to reveal the traits that could be impacting your weight loss, fitness, and nutrition. Discover your traits today at embodydna.live/WBUR.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Democrats and former DNC chair Donna Brazile raising the rigging question over the Dems' 2016 primaries, Hillary Clinton versus Bernie Sanders. You can join us this hour. Are you following this? Does rigging look like the right word to you? Was Clinton's influence inevitable, given her war chest and the DNC's empty coffers? Or was this something different? Nina Turner joins us in just a moment. Republicans have been eager and ready to make hay on this, including the president. Here he was on Friday talking with reporters as he was about to leave on his trip to Asia.
You ought to look at Hillary Clinton, and you ought to look at the new book that was just put out by Donna Brazile, where she basically bought the DNC and she stole the election from Bernie. So that's what you ought to take a look at.
And Paul Ryan on Fox News piling on Sunday.
I've never seen anything like that. I mean, we all said that the Clintons thought they lived above the rules, but this takes the cake. I mean, this is pretty amazing. For them to basically be running the DNC in a primary, to see such a deck stacked is really pretty jaw-dropping to me. No wonder the Democrats are ticked off. I would be, too. It's amazing to me how the Clintons just lived above the law or above the rules in this thing.
We're going to talk with the current DNC chair, Tom Perez, in just a moment. Elizabeth Warren, was it rigged? She said yes to Jake Tapper. But here was how she elaborated on that. And the Democratic Party and the chair now, Tom Perez, going forward.
He's being tested now. This is a test for Tom Perez. And either he's going to succeed by bringing Bernie Sanders and Bernie Sanders representatives into this process, and they're going to say it's fair, it works, we all believe it, or he's going to fail. And I very much hope he succeeds.
And Donna Brazile, she's had a lot of criticism here after this book as well. Talking to George Stephanopoulos about that, she says, I've got my story to tell.
George, for those who are telling me to shut up, they told Hillary that a couple of months ago. You know what I tell them? Go to hell. I'm going to tell my story.
We're going to Nina Turner right now from Cleveland, Ohio, president of Our Revolution. That's a group founded by Bernie Sanders supporters to further his political revolution. She was a frequent surrogate for Sanders during his campaign, quite a fiery one, former Ohio State Senator. Nina Turner, welcome back to On Point. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to join you.
What do you make of the Donna Brazile revelations? And is this, was this a rigged primary?
I mean, Donna Brazile is telling her truth, and she has every right to tell the story. There were whispers about things that she revealed going on in Bernie-crat circles all along. This is the best-kept open secret that everybody knew was going on, which is that the DNC did play favoritism. It did not follow its own rules. But more importantly than what she just didn't reveal that. I mean, but the fact that the DNC itself was left bankrupt is another challenge that this party is going to have to deal with. So none of this is new, Tom, in terms of what the DNC needs to do to restore transparency, accountability, and trust. And you don't lose 1,100 seats over 8 years for nothing, notwithstanding, you know, the fact that we need to deal with voting access and gerrymandering on top of all of that. But many people in this country are registered, believe that they are registered as independents. They lean independent. So neither political party can take great joy because they have lost confidence. But the Democratic Party has lots of work to do. We need truth and reconciliation. You can't cover this up. You got to admit that some things happened that should not have happened. And what are we going to do as a party moving forward to ensure that nothing like this ever happens again?
So, Nina, you've been paying close attention for a long time. And I know the book is just coming out in full. I guess it'll be in the stores today or soon. The publication date is just today. So we've all been reading excerpts or Phil Rucker's reporting on it. Was there really nothing new in here to your mind? Were there any details that Donna Brazile is now sharing that lit up new bulbs for you?
I mean, listen, she just revealed what was really going on. The fact that, I mean, these are the facts, that the Clinton campaign had a supplemental agreement. Those are the facts. They had access that Sanders' campaign did not have. Those are the facts. You can't refute that. People can't dance around it. They can't spin out of it. So we have to make sure if Democrats really want to win again, they got to confess their sin. And we have to be able to win people over with the message that speaks to the people in this country and not try to bully people into voting for Democrats because they are the lesser of two evils. People are over lesser of two evils.
What?
You know, my grandmother used to always say lesser of two evils, still evil.
Yeah. No, thank you. To that, on the fundraising front, the Clinton campaign came in and used the DNC, through the DNC, did a lot of fundraising, but a lot of that was funneled back to the Clinton campaign. Now, as I understand, the Sanders campaign could have done that as well and just didn't? Or how do you look at that, Nina?
No, the Sanders campaign did not have the same agreement. They had a supplemental agreement, and funneling money back through, I mean, that's something ethical that the Democratic Party needs to decide whether or not you're going to deal with that. You know, Senator Sanders did raise money for candidates. He raised about $5 million for candidates when he was running for president of the United States. Not only that, he got out on the picket lines with Verizon, you know, labor, the House of Labor at the same time that he was running for president. But you know what, Tom, we do have a committee, and I want Democrats, and I want everybody to understand is we have the Unity Reform Commission. Both campaigns would not have agreed to a Unity Reform Commission if there wasn't something to reform. I say we need to call it the Reform and Unity Commission because you cannot have unity without reform. And it is crystal clear that the Democratic Party needs some reform. And if people are talking about rigged, as in votes were switched here and there, that's not the kind of rigging that we're talking about here. It is talking about a process that was unfair, not only to Senator Sanders, it was unfair to Democratic voters. It was unfair to independent voters that lean Democratic. So if we want to clean it up, confess the sin, clean it up, and let's move on in a way that says that we have learned the lessons of 2016, and we will make sure that nothing like this, not even the appearance of impropriety, will ever happen again. That is how the Democratic Party is going to be able to win back. And, you know, Senator Merkley was just here in Cleveland with me yesterday. We were doing Get Out the Vote. You know, these are the kinds of things that we have to be on the ground, just getting out the vote, talking to people, community to community. But we cannot have a cover-up here.
Nina, we're going to go to Tom Perez in just 60 seconds. You talk about reforms, needed reforms. What are the top reforms?
Superdelegates, one-third of the superdelegates, 400 superdelegates before anybody else had declared in this campaign had already chosen a side. So we have to do something to deal with
get rid of them, cut down the number, what?
I want to see superdelegates gone altogether. But there has to be a way to deal with the outsized impact that superdelegates have before anybody gets in the race. I mean, what about Governor O'Malley? What about Governor Lincoln Chafee? What about those folks that were in this race? We have to deal with that so that moving forward, nothing like this ever happens again. But in order to move forward, we have got to reflect on what happened in the past, truth and reconciliation, and reform and unity.
Tom Perez is coming right on here. What's your main challenge to him as we turn to him?
To make sure that he understands exactly, seek first to understand and then to be understood, as Stephen Covey once said, make sure that he is willing to admit that things went wrong, terribly wrong during the primary, and that he is going to ensure that under his leadership that nothing like this ever happens again and that they fully expect to take the recommendations of the Reform and Unity Commission.
Nina Turner, president of Our Revolution, the group founded by Bernie Sanders supporters to further his political revolution. Nina, thank you very much for joining us from Cleveland.
Thank you.
I'm going to turn to Washington right now, and Tom Perez, current chair of the Democratic National Committee, former U.S. Secretary of Labor, of course. Tom Perez, thank you very much for being with us today.
It's great to be with you, Tom.
Nina Turner says the first thing she wants coming out of the Sanders camp in this whole experience is, she says, confess your sins, DNC. Step up to what was wrong. Were things wrong? If so, which ones?
Well, I said from the outset I ran for this office because we have to up our game at the DNC. We have to make sure that everything we do is fair and perceived as fair by everyone involved. That's why I ran. That's why the first thing I did, Tom, when I won election was I asked Keith Ellison to join me as a partner in the movement forward to rebuild, modernize, and earn the trust of folks. And that's exactly what I've been doing. It's really careful. It's really important. And I heard Nina articulate this, to be careful about the words that we use, because let me be clear to your listeners, the Democratic Party doesn't administer primary elections. Those are administered by states. They're not administered by the parties. The parties administer caucuses, and Senator Sanders did quite well in those caucuses. And so when we talk about something being rigged, that is a term that's a loaded term that is that I think is a dangerous term.
But Senator Warren, when she was asked, was it rigged? She said, yes. Jake Tapper asked her. She said, yes.
And I would simply say the following. What we have to do as a Democratic Party through everything we do, and from the minute I got elected, I have understood this and I've acted upon it, is to make sure that every process we have is fair to everyone involved, not just to candidates, but that voters have an opportunity to be heard. That's why we have a Unity and Reform Commission, and I'm looking forward to getting their final recommendations. We have another meeting coming up next month, and I look forward to it.
Because can you get more specific?
Sure that every eligible, sure.
Can you get more specific about what, like she said, Nina Turner saying, step up to what went wrong. So I know you want to up your game, but can you be more specific about what went wrong, if things went wrong, that you now want to fix?
Let me tell you about what we're fixing, okay?
Well, we want to know what went wrong. We want some, she says, truth and reconciliation. Yeah, that means look back and be honest.
Absolutely. And what we have to do is make sure that every point in the process where we have control, that we're doing things that are fair to everyone involved. So, for instance, we will be setting the primary debate schedule long before we know who the candidates are. And the purpose of that, Tom, is to eliminate any sense that somehow the primary debate schedule is being set in a way to help one candidate over another.
A lot of people said it was set for Hillary, yeah.
Well, I totally understand that, and I think the DNC fell short in many important ways during the 2016 cycle, and I accept responsibility for fixing that, and I accept responsibility for earning the trust of voters. And I'll tell you, the best example of the progress we're making is in Virginia, because what we should be talking about right now, Tom, is the elections that are today in Virginia and New Jersey. And in Virginia, we had a spirited primary campaign between Tom Perriello and Ralph Northam. The media tried to paint it as another Bernie-Hillary proxy war. Here's what happened in fact, Tom. They ran a spirited high road campaign. They talked about the issues, and frankly, they agree on over 90% of the issues. Their focus may be a little bit different, but what they agree on far exceeds what they disagree on.
Chairman
At
Paris,
the
let
end
me,
of the campaign, they had record turnout, Tom. Record turnout.
We'll see where that goes. I mean, it's a big vote today. Yeah, it's a
little, I know, but and everywhere I go, Tom, I think this is really important for your listeners. I've 700 miles I put on the car over the weekend in Virginia. Yep. Not one question about Donna Brazile. Everything was about what do we do moving forward to win on Tuesday. And it was Bernie people. It was Hillary people. It was everybody else coming together. That's what we're focused on.
I hear that. But you know there are hard feelings here. And here's the big question for the presidential election coming up. How do you keep the DNC out of the pocket of the big money candidate, whoever that is next time? How do you avoid repeating that cycle?
We already have a joint fundraising agreement that we've signed with all 50 states now. Joint fundraising agreements are partnerships. And by the way, these fundraising agreements were offered.
Yeah, but you had those last time, and Clinton came in and took the campaign came in and basically took over, Donna Brazile says.
Well, but again, the joint fundraising agreement was offered to all the candidates. Senator Sanders, as I understand it, signed one, and Senator Clinton.
Yeah, but she had the money, so she got the control. How do you avoid that next time?
Well, but again, we have a joint fundraising agreement with our state parties now. It's a partner. The reason we're doing it now, 3 years ahead of the election, Tom, is because what we do with the money that we're raising now, and we don't have any candidates running for president right now. And what we're doing and the purpose of joint fundraising agreements, and they have been around. They are not a new thing. They've been around for decades. The purpose is to build the infrastructure of success. And the reason we entered into one now, and for the first time in our history, we've gotten all 50 states to sign on, is because we're using it to build organizing infrastructure, to put boots on the ground now to talk to voters, to build a technology infrastructure that's second to none, to build a 50-state voter protection and empowerment infrastructure, because voter suppression is a staple in the Republican playbook.
Tom, you've got a lot of people listening to you with questions, and I really want to let them come in here because I think part of this is addressing the views that people actually have about what's happened and what will happen. Ashley, in Auburn, Alabama, you're on with the chair of the DNC, Tom Perez.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. So I have a few different things I'd like to address. So first, as far as the fundraising agreement with the state, so the last time this happened, something along the lines of 98%, 99%, a huge, huge amount of that money ended up going back into the DNC / Hillary for America. So the states got almost nothing. They signed up for something, but they got almost nothing. I live in Alabama, where the Democratic Party is completely broke. Completely broke. They refused to help any of the Democratic candidates. And I don't know why. Funding, I'm sure, is part of it. The other thing, as far as unity is concerned, so it doesn't say much for unity when Keith Ellison's backers within the DNC were just purged from their roles. Okay, there were something like 8 of them. There was a transgender woman, I believe, an Arab American.
Ashley, our time with Tom is short. Let us pick those two things. Do you see rigged or fixed, or what are you looking back, Ashley? What do you see?
Sure. I guess it depends on your definition of each, but I absolutely see rigged. The deck was stacked against Bernie from the beginning. That doesn't mean that Bernie wouldn't have had a chance to win, but he would have had 2 cards compared to Hillary's entire hand because of all the, like I said, just because of the deck being stacked against him.
Actually, our time is short. Tom Perez, what do you do next time so it doesn't just flow back to one candidate?
Let me answer as much as I can of the – there were about 4 or 5 questions there. Number one, our joint fundraising agreements that we've reached with states, as of last month, we have increased our monthly investment in state parties by a third. In addition, we've established a $10 million innovation fund, the purpose of which is to help us do base voter engagement, millennial engagement, and to build – the infrastructure of success in states across the country. We are absolutely doing work to help people like Doug Jones in Alabama. And everything we do at the DNC, our new slate of candidates, and I, with all due respect, we have the most diverse slate of DNC members now that we've ever had. And we've doubled the number of millennials. We now have a Native American caucus for the first time because we increased the number of Native Americans. We have more union members on the DNC than we've ever had before because those are the partners that we need. And our North Star in everything that I do, Tom, is how can we help build a party that can succeed. And everywhere I go now, and Virginia is on my mind because that's where I've spent the most time, what people are telling me, I had half a dozen people who supported Bernie Sanders come up to me at various events over the weekend saying to me, I supported Bernie and I see what you're trying to do and you're making progress. Keep it up. That's what I'm hearing in Virginia. We've got more work to do. We have to earn people's vote and support and trust every day. That's a 24/7 job. I accept that challenge, and I am confident that as we continue to win elections and come together, we will continue to make progress.
We'll see today. Tom Perez, chair of the Democratic National Committee, with us from Washington. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Democrats and former DNC chair Donna Brazile raising the rigging question over the Dems' 2016 primaries, Hillary Clinton versus Bernie Sanders in particular. We just heard from Tom Perez, current chair of the DNC. Of course, this is Election Day, and they've got big contests going on in Virginia, first of all, New Jersey, and beyond. He wants to put attention there. You've got people still looking back, though, and thinking about what that meant and what it means. Looking forward, you can join us this hour. Was that rigging? And how do the Democrats get it squeaky clean right the next time? Do Democrats come together here or just keep fighting? Donna Brazile's book out today on Election Day. And lots of people have been talking about it now since it began leaking out over the past days. Here she was. Her book is Hacks, the inside story, the break-ins and breakdowns that put Trump in the White House. She talked with George Stephanopoulos yesterday on The View today. But here she was with George. Here's what she had to say about the fact that she had to run, she said, her money decisions at the DNC through the Clinton campaign.
Yeah, I'm not patched the slave because I got sick and tired of people telling me how to spend money when all I was trying to do, I wasn't getting a salary. I was basically volunteering my time. And what I was trying to do, George, was to increase the level of enthusiasm and passion for Hillary Clinton and the rest of the ticket.
Ooh, I'm not Patsy the slave. I got sick and tired of people telling me how to spend my money. With MSNBC on Friday, Bernie Sanders' former campaign manager, Jeff Weaver, reacted to these allegations of rigging of this 2016 primary.
I think the DNC should apologize to the millions and millions of people who put their heart and souls into the campaign on both sides, frankly. There are many people out there who campaigned for Hillary believing it was a fair process. It was not a fair process. And those people are the people that the Democratic Party has to reestablish faith with, are the people, the rank and file of this party, allied independents, and other people.
Okay, but here was the Clinton. Former campaign manager Robbie Mook talking with CNN on Friday said the DNC talked with both the Clinton and Sanders camps about a joint fundraising campaign because they were, DNC, out of money and needed help.
Both the Sanders campaign and the Clinton campaign signed joint fundraising agreements. So we both thought it was a good thing to sign up for. The only difference was Sanders didn't raise any money in, and we did.
Yeah, that's it, says the former Clinton campaign manager. Leslie's calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Leslie, thanks very much for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
So I am a lifelong Democrat. I worked Jimmy Carter's campaign. That was the first campaign I worked for.
Yeah.
But like many, became increasingly frustrated with the Democratic Party because they only wanted contributions, but really no feedback. And so I think they did become the party of big money donors and neglected the progressives. So I did end up supporting Bernie Sanders big time in the primary. But I do also want people do need to remember that he was not a Democrat. He was an independent. And so it's not really surprising that the Democratic Party didn't fall in behind him to support him. And it's unfortunate that our system is such that he had to run as a Democrat because we don't have a system where a third party candidate has any chance of succeeding in the primary. I also want to say that I think that it's absolutely, I don't have a problem with Donna Brazile telling her story.
Okay.
I think she needs to tell her story. I think it's important that we hear it. I think the Democratic Party needs to do the kind of soul searching that that it should have been doing for the last several years. But I do question the timing. And I do question her motivation in it for the timing. I mean, right on top of these special elections that are going on, these midterm elections that are going on.
You think she's out to hurt Democrats now, Leslie, or what?
I don't know what her motivation is, but I just think that it's really, and then we've got all this stuff going on with the current administration, all the scandals, and this is a major distraction from that.
Yep.
We need to be focused on much more serious things that are going on with our democracy. And there's time. There was time for her to come forward with this. And I agree that the Democratic Party needs to do the soul searching, but I don't agree that this was a good time for us to come forward. Maybe there's never a great time, but certainly the timing right at the election and right at with all the investigations going on.
Yeah, no, listen, I get it. I mean, but of course, if you start talking about rigging and primaries, that's important to democracy too. But I really appreciate your perspective and how you're thinking it through there, and appreciate your call from Albuquerque. Thanks very much, Leslie. Gabriel DeBenedetti joins us right now, political writer for Politico. He's been looking very closely at Donna Brazile and what she's had to say here. Gabriel, thanks for being with us from Washington.
Thank you, Tom.
You hear Leslie there in Albuquerque, and she's wondering about Donna Brazile's motivation and her timing. Can you speak to those? What do you know? What do you see?
Well, I mean, this book is coming out today. It's the one-year anniversary of the election. I think that's what the timing comes from. Brazile is a longtime Democratic pro, Al Gore's former campaign manager, two-time DNC chair. I don't think she's out to hurt the party, but she clearly does believe that, you know, the party's past needs to be relitigated in some ways, and that people do need to come around to what, you know, what happened in 2016. You heard Nina Turner say it earlier. Nina Turner said, if Democrats want to win again, they have to confess their sins, and Brazile sort of seems to be agreeing.
I mean, you had her writing there that, you know, after she shared all this with Bernie Sanders, she curled up in a ball and cried. But here we are at another time now. I mean, does the timing hurt the Democrats? These are things to be worked out, but you've got, 100 Clinton campaign people coming out over the weekend and saying, this is not how we understood what happened in the Clinton campaign. We don't even know what Donna Brazile is talking about, in a way, they're saying.
Yeah, well, this is clearly not the conversation that leading Democrats want to be having right now. Obviously, as Tom Perez said earlier, there are a lot of races going on today. But as Perez said, this is not exactly a topic that Democrats are talking about on the ground in these races. Voters in Virginia are not too concerned with Donna's book. The reality is, though, that back here in D.C., people are concerned about this, and there is a lot of sort of hand-wringing at the top of the party about how they move forward after this. So everyone's paying attention to Virginia, New Jersey, those governors' races right now. Moving forward, though, you know, it remains to be seen.
I mean, we'll be back in presidential campaign time, and it'll be a big deal how these party choices get made. Tim in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Tim, thank you for calling. Are you ready to get over it, Tim?
Well, that's not exactly my point. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Big Bernie supporter, and I guess I wasn't very surprised, that there were some aspects of rigging and the deck being stacked in favor of Hillary. But I think, you know, what you were trying to do for Mr. Perez as well is give him an opportunity. What the previous guest had said was, you know, just come clean. You don't have to wallow in it, and we don't have to drag it on for weeks and months. But at least show some faith. And he spent so much time talking about how many miles he's putting in his car and what people are saying. But really, I know what people are saying up here still in Massachusetts. And, you know, and we need some sort of like beginning point where there is definitely some reconciliation, or there can be no unity, true unity.
But I mean, you've got to have it sooner or later. I mean, do you plan on coming back into the Democratic fold? I mean, today's election day. There'll be another election next fall, the 2018 midterms. There'll be a 2020, and it'll be the full heat of a presidential contest. As a Bernie guy, how do you look at it?
It's hard. It's hard to start at some point without there being some sort of, some sort of day of reckoning, a reconciliation thing. And you were poking him as well, you know, getting him, what did you do wrong? He was so unwilling to say anything with regard to like, okay, yeah, here are the things that we did. Here are the things that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's sort of admitting the dirty secrets and everything. But I think you have to say it. You have to come out and say it. Otherwise, it is really hard to be believable. And then you take independent voters like myself, and then you throw them to the Green Party or where, you know, and that's sort of... That's what I was left with,
Tim, we've got it. And forgive me, my friend, but I want to get Gabriel to weigh in here, and I really appreciate your call. How about it, Gabriel? I mean, You know, you had all the WikiLeaks emails out there. Now you got Donna Brazile out there. We had Nina Turner talking about the Unity Reform Commission to try and knit all this back together and talking about truth and reconciliation. Do you get the sense from inside the party circles where Sanders and Clinton people both sit, I guess, trying to work this out? Are people coming clean and being very frank about what happened and what shouldn't maybe happen again?
Well, you know, it depends on your definition of coming clean, but the reality is that there is this Unity Reform Commission that we keep hearing about, and people who want a big dramatic day of reckoning may not get it, but this commission is going to put forth a set of recommendations that you heard both Nina Turner and Tom Perez talking about. There is going to be this coming together later this year or early next year. The big question that a lot of the Sanders supporters who are still furious about what happened in 2016 have is whether the DNC will accept all of those recommendations. But there's going to be a lot of talk, and there already has been, about the role of superdelegates, the debate schedule, and things like that that really do still grate on a lot of folks thinking back to 2016. But is there going to be a kumbaya moment when everyone stands up and holds hands? I'm not sure about that.
I mean, we had the former Clinton campaign manager, again, Robbie Mook, saying on CNN last Friday that it was impossible to think the DNC could rig the election because the Clinton camp, he said, didn't even win a majority of the caucuses, which the DNC most closely controls. Here was Mook.
The idea that the DNC could rig a contest, frankly, is laughable. And here's the last thing I'll say. You know, the caucus contests within the larger primary are the contests that are run by the party. You know, the primary elections are run by secretaries of state. Those contests, the caucuses that were run by the party, Bernie Sanders won overwhelmingly. So if we look at what the party actually managed in this process, Bernie Sanders won those contests. I think we only won three of them, and we barely won Iowa.
Clinton campaign manager Robbie Mook. Steve's calling from Orono, Maine. Steve, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. I mean, look, everything the Clintons touch seems to get dirty. I mean, they tried to push out the first black American president. You know, they believe that the Democratic Party is their dynasty. And they have been angry since the first, since the president's Obama's first term. It's not surprising. And I think millennials have a chance to change this. I think the DNC needs to clean house, which they won't do, because there's so much money from basically old people. It's like Daley-esque. I mean, you know, they don't beat you up with a club and have the police arrest you. What they do is they kill any competition with payola money. It's all dirty. The Clintons have been dirty forever.
Is that over now, Steve? I mean, I don't think she's going to run again.
I don't think it is because the DNC is so embedded with people. I mean, Tom Perez can't even say, sorry, you know, right, we're going to change our ways. Please let us know. This, you know, talking about, you know, like the other guy said, you know, how many miles they run, and I got 12.
Well, he's out there trying to campaign now. We get that. I mean, but you think the Clinton influence is still there. Steve, let us pick it up. How about it, Gabriel? Is that the kryptonite here for reconciliation? Is it like, can the Clintons be in there and bring in the sort of divided heart and fix it?
Bill and Hillary Clinton have absolutely no ties to the DNC these days, but I think what we just saw is a great example of the DNC's big problem right now, which is that people just don't trust the party. You know, Tom Perez does not respond to Bill or Hillary Clinton. He does not report to them. But there is still this feeling around the country that the DNC still needs to be reformed, and that's why Perez is going around promising to change the party. But the reality is that they haven't convinced folks yet that that's either a legitimate thing that's going to happen, or they haven't given people reason to believe that it's going to even be seriously discussed. Now, it's obviously a huge question. Is that fair? How do they get to that point? But this distrust is a major problem that came out of 2016 that they're still trying to deal with.
What did you make of the assertion in Donna Brazile's book that there was a point after 9/11 a year ago when Hillary Clinton had that big wobble as she went back to her SUV there in Lower Manhattan, maybe fainted or I'm not sure what happened, but that there was pressure on her to maybe be ready to bring in another candidate, and she was ready to bring in Joe Biden. What do you make of that?
Well, she didn't have the authority to do that unilaterally as the DNC chair. That's the first thing. The processes of the party don't allow the DNC chair to just make that decision. But it does speak to a broader point here, which was the potentially the coordination between the DNC and the campaign. Brazil should have been told, presumably, that Clinton was not in grave danger and that this wouldn't be a problem. But the fact that she did consider bringing in Biden is just certainly an interesting anecdote, and it speaks to a lot of the concern that a lot of folks had about the communications with the Clinton campaign. But again, that's in the past. You know, had she brought in Biden, there obviously would have been enormous concerns among Sanders supporters as well. It's not necessarily clear how that would have happened.
Chris in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I've got a couple questions. One is, and it goes back to the timing or the purpose of this book by Donna Brazile. I personally think that I'm being a little bit Machiavellian here, but, I think she's stuck her finger into her mouth, tested the wind, sees that the wind's not blowing from Clinton land anymore. It's, blowing from Bernie land, and she's exposing the Clinton scandal, so to speak, and she's trying to ingratiate herself with, the up-and-coming.
Does that make it wrong, Chris? Does that mean it's not true, or it just makes you skeptical?
I'm not implying by any means that she's lying. Because for her to publish the book like this, she would probably have documentation to back her up. As it's been stated earlier in your program today, she is a professional.
And, yeah. Hey, Chris, we're up against the clock right there, but I got your point on maybe finger in the wind a little bit. Certainly the tenor of things has changed from a couple of years ago or even 1 year ago a lot. I mean, Gabriel, what's your guess here? Does this plague Democrats through the midterms and into the next presidential election, or do you see a party that's trying to knit this together and work it out?
The divides within the party will certainly not go away anytime soon, but the question of whether the recriminations after Donna Brazile's book, are those going to plague the party? I highly doubt it. The reality is that in today's political atmosphere and in today's political environment, none of this stuff sticks for more than a few days anyway. That's not to say that it shouldn't, but there's so many factors coming from everywhere that people are concerned about that I highly doubt that Brazile's accusations will be front and center in the midterms. But is there any doubt whatsoever that the Democratic Party has serious divides that it needs to be reckoning with ahead of 2018 and 2020? Of course not. And there's literally no one near the top of the Democratic Party who would disagree with that.
Well, election day today. And for all parties and all voters everywhere, get out and vote. It matters. And then comes 2018, and then comes 2020. We'll see what residue remains and what people are willing to forgive, forget, or reconcile, I guess the word we've heard here today. Gabriel DeBenedetti is a political writer for Politico, has joined us today from Washington. Gabriel, great to have you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks as always.
Thanks to Nina Turner, Tom Perez, Phil Rucker with the Washington Post in this hour, and to all of you. You can continue this conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.